Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. This is David Gibson, and my guest today is David Hikes. Hi, David.
Greetings, David.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And I hope the same for you and all your listeners.
Yeah, yeah. So, as we do normally, we have an intention for today's show, and it is pure listening. It's interesting, when you think of pure listening, often think of presence and really just opening to whatever sounds are coming in, which is often a state of alpha, or it could even be a state of theta, where you're really in this pure state of openness. So this is our intention for the show today. Okay. Before we get started, though, I want to tell you about some things happening at the school here. Oh boy, tomorrow we're starting the summer intensive. 2 weeks straight, 10 to 9:30. If you're in the area, come on in. You could still fly in. and it's half of the certificate program here at the school, the Sound Healing Certificate Program. And we have the second half happening in August. We also have the 3-month version starting again in September 2nd. And that's the Sound Healing Certificate Program. And you can, with either one of these programs, you can go right into the Associate Degree Program, which is 4 semesters. And we've got a wide range of instructors. And we also do these classes online as well. We've got the Certificate and Associate Degree work online. And it works quite well. We've got a lot of students taking the program from around the world. And we do toning and chanting. We do healings on each other. So we also have the audio recording program where we teach Pro Tools and or just about any program you want to use. And we'll actually teach you how to use the equipment to affect people in a much deeper way, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And we do that program online as well. And it's really cool. You can see Pro Tools on your screen. It's like Skype we use. And we've got it fed into the online program, online meeting program. So you can hear everything we're doing as well. And that starts in just another week and a half. And we also have a full associate degree in audio recording here at the Institute as well. We've got 3 recording studios. Some other events we have coming up, we've got on June 13th, we've got the Tibetan Bowl concert with Karma Moffat. And Karma is like the Tibetan Bowl master of the world. And he's got bowls from all over the world that are quite an amazing selection, including a lot of bells and horns and such. And he hooks it up to a looping system and gets the whole room shaking. It's really an amazing chakra treatment. And so that's here at the school. It's only $20 for on June 13th, Friday the 13th, the lucky date. And then we've also got our retreat in Mount Shasta on August 30th and 31st. And there's still room left for that. It's at Stewart Hot Springs, and we've got a facility right next to a river, and the hot springs is some of the most healing, best healing water on the planet. Not to mention we're at the foot of Mount Shasta, where there's supposedly 3 million Lemurians inside, toning and humming and in bliss all the time. So we're gonna just hum along, okay? And you can find all this information online at soundhealingcenter.com, or you can email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com, or you can call me at 415-777-2486. That's 415-777-2486. Of course, we've still got all the treatments. We've got our therapy center here. We do about a dozen treatments here, and about 6 of those treatments we can do online or over the phone. And then we've also got the store here, that's soundoflove.com. and we've got a full range of sound healing instruments and sacred geometry tools and pendants and also sound tables as well. And we've got the physical store here, or you can do that online. But the big event we have is the Sound Healing Conference coming up September 26th to the 29th in Oakland, just across the bay here from San Francisco. And it's our fourth Sound Healing Conference, and we've got some of the most amazing people for this conference. You can check it out at globesoundhealingconference.com. And we're also going to have a lot of exhibitor booths. It's also an outdoor festival, so for only $25, you can do a two-day outdoor festival. There's this outdoor park adjacent or as part of the building where the actual conference is going to be inside. So you could just do that if you, you know, if you can't afford to do the whole conference. But also, we've got three concerts, one concert every night of the conference. And we've got Suzanne Sterling one night, Stephen Halpern, and then we're doing the Power of Love concert as well. And then on the last night, we've got David Hikes. And David, I'm so glad to have you here, because David is really probably one of the most successful people in the field of sound healing music. I mean, he sold more CDs than probably anybody in the entire field practically put together. I mean, it's really quite amazing. And it's because his music is quite amazing. It's really the main thing I can say about David is that he does overtone singing and throat singing. That really the cool thing about it is just the structure of harmonics is the same mathematical multiple as the distance between the planets, as the distance of electron shells around the nucleus of an atom. It's the same in the weight of your vertebrae in your back. Some people, including Fabian Mamon, say that structure within harmonics is within the auras, and I wouldn't doubt that it's the mathematical structure of the actual chakras as well. So when you tune in to harmonics, you're really tuning in to all of nature, in fact, every cell in your body. And not to mention the intention and the beautiful energy that comes through from the person doing it as well, or from David here. So welcome, David. Welcome.
Thank you, David. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Mm. So tell us about, how long have you been doing this? I mean, you know, I know that in Tibet or Tuva, for example, kids are taught overtone singing and throat singing as they're growing up. And then there's other people that other people that just, I've had people in my classes. It's really funny because we teach overtone singing here. And they'll come in and they may not know how to do it at all. And then some people, it takes a really long time to learn. Like, it took me quite a while before Spirit just said, move your tongue this way, Dave. But other people, they'll come back a week later, and it's like they've been doing it for many lifetimes. So how many lifetimes have you been doing this?
Well, I can give you an exact count about that. But the key thing here, so first of all, we're talking about harmonic chant. This is this particular flowering of the sacred sound stream that I've been developing since 1975. And although I did come up with some of these other terms when I was starting overtone singing and harmonic singing, as our work developed and became something much more specific, I felt that rather than perpetuate a sort of widespread confusion about how generic all of these things are, because the music just came to life in such a very particular way, that the particular ecosystem, vibrational ecosystem we're in, musically we do call harmonic chant. And I was born in Taos, and according to my spiritual family, Taos Pueblo, their influence on me was quite strong. I mean, I was an infant, and many years later, my godmother, who's from Taos Pueblo, said to me, to my very great and undying astonishment, said, "Oh, we gave you the privilege to sing." And I think there are a number of influences that have been of very great importance to me, which I'll speak about when I come and present and perform at your conference. But there are a couple of important facts. It's true there is quite widespread what we call in our work harmonic presence, and it's true there are quantitative harmonics pretty much at every scale or in every octave, if you will, of the creation. And that's very important to remember. There were harmonics in the Big Bang. There are harmonic oscillations inside of every single star. Even Brian Greene in his book, The Elegant Universe, speaks about, in a chapter called The Cosmic Symphony, about harmonic resonance of these famous strings that they're all so excited about, which nobody has seen, but the harmonic resonance for the strings of string theory could be so important in that process that what the particle becomes, you know, quark, electron, proton, earthlington, I mean, it seems to have a lot to do with harmonic resonance. So that's very important. But I think as practitioners, what becomes more and more important down through the decades is qualitative harmonic presence. In other words, the actual sounds are, of course, quite perceivable and easily accessible, but that doesn't necessarily guarantee that they can become part of a real practice, a real work on oneself, a real work for transformation. And I think as with any practice, be it in the arts like music or spiritual practice, I mean, there are so many levels and so many phases of development over the course of one's lifetime that I think it's very important for people interested in harmonics to realize that it's not sort of a one-off weekend kind of thing, that there's really a path there if a person is drawn to taking it and really going more deeply into what really is at work in something like harmonic presence work.
Tell me more about this path.
Well, in our view, sharing the harmonic presence work, it's really important that the musical aspect be really developed because the harmonic series, which is a magnificent scale that we all find when working with our voices, which is in math actually called the continuum. It's one of the more infinite series. This is basically the counting numbers from 1 to infinity, and what in math they call fractions, but of course for those of us in the musical world, there's no such thing. Those are intervals, like the fifth, fourth, octave, and so on. So when we're working with harmonics, we are, in the musical sense, we're really working with the DNA of absolutely all music, and therefore, far from it being just a sort of thing that people can do, we can do with our voices, it really is a portal into how all music works. So in the practices and teachings that we share, there's a lot of attention given to this notion of like the original sound being like stem cell sound. And with the appearance of the different harmonics, we find blossoming every possible musical tradition, really. I mean, this is sort of the original garden from which all music and all musical sounds, voices and instruments, have grown. And again, we see harmonic presence in the actual sounding universe. I mentioned some examples. Another one came to life very interestingly a few years ago. There was, for once, a wonderful headline in one of, I think, the New York Times about, and the headline was, Galaxy Sings in B-flat. And it turns out that the Perseus galaxy, which has a black hole in the center around which we're emanating these very periodic gamma waves, and they measured the frequency and the distance between the crusts, and they simply cranked up the frequency by octaves, and some 57 octaves up at our earthling floor in the Temple of Song, so to say, rang out this B flat. So it's true that there are harmonic phenomena pretty much at every level in the universe. That's an important outer fact, but just to finish, so that's sort of the macrocosmic point of view, but their role in the inner life of us human beings, that is a related but also very, very different and equally extraordinary range of themes and topics.
So on this path, you know, it's interesting because we have a person here, Emmanuel, who does overtone singing, but he doesn't do it for concerts or anything. He just goes into a certain state of consciousness and overtones come out. And he's now worked with 70 people with cancer, and only 5 of them still have the cancer, they report. And it's interesting because he was born with it. At 4 he was doing this. But otherwise, you know, it's really my understanding from what I teach also is that it's really about going into deeper and deeper, more consistent states of consciousness to be able to really hold this frequency, and which allows you to access these higher states. So,
that's not really the traditional approach I've come to understand it. First of all, there's some very key points to keep in mind. One is there are harmonics in all the musical sounds we hear in all our voices already.
Yeah.
So that hugely important fact sort of allows us to consider that the part that really needs to work, if the harmonics are already there, has to do with our listening and our awareness. So I think it's a little dicey to associate so-called making or producing harmonics with any particular state, because in fact we don't really need to do anything to perceive them.
Yeah, maybe you misunderstood what I was really saying.
I was really saying
that the practice that I teach is really bringing people to a state of stillness and presence.
That's what I was talking about.
That's what I was asking though, as far as the path and practice, you know. I mean,
right.
What do you do as a meditation practice to be able to get into the state where you could do this or do it better?
Again, there's some very key points that from the traditional perspective really need to be taken into account. So I'll come back to that. But first, I'll just finish my brief overview of how we approach these very important questions in the harmonic presence work. So I mentioned the harmonic chant part, and that's what we call music of the spheres of being. That's this very comprehensive system of working with vocal harmonics, making music first and foremost, not just, you know, healing sounds, but also the healing part of music being included in a musical, in the search for true musical quality, right? And the other two very equally important dimensions are contemplative practice, which I think is really where the flowering of the beauty of the music comes from. And then the third very important dimension, what we call healing and harmonization possibilities. So that's the background, the overview about the harmonic presence, which is what I'm...
So, well, I'm sorry, what was this? Tell me the second again.
Oh, contemplative practice, you know, deep awareness practice.
Okay. So that's, I guess that's
the
what
three things. The music, the contemplative practice, and the healing harmonization aspect. So those are the three parts of this overall package.
Explain those in a little more. I understand the music. So the music's kind of just studying about music and how that works in relation to harmonics?
No. That's recognizing that harmonics really are the seed from which all music sprouts, so to say.
Yeah, I understand that.
Harmonics are not...
Every musical interval is within one harmonic structure.
Yes, all musical intervals are found in the harmonic series. So that's why our work is serving a particular purpose, which is to show musically and in other ways that this harmonic phenomena, which so many of us around the world are very fascinated and intrigued with, and, you know, how shall I say, attribute all kinds of magical properties to, this is what all music is made of. So in other words, it's not the harmonics and the overtones on one side and so-called regular music on the other, that harmonic presence is just as present, if not more so, in actual music than in these other realms that we are so interested in and in these other places around the world that I mentioned. And again, just to say it again, it's the harmonic series. Harmonics are really the DNA of all music. So what we
that's the key
love
to the
so
first
much,
part there?
Yeah, it really is, because then
okay.
You're not just working, you know, separately with harmonic overtones as if music were something else. In other words, our notes down here are the equivalent of the harmonics up there. So if you will, it's like we on Earth, we heard these harmonics maybe in the first note. So of course, imaginary to try and describe it. At some point, we realized that within the one note that maybe we were chanting or playing in early days, as we like to say, you know, that we heard these other notes. And then we realized that our voices could also not just sing those other notes as harmonics, but also find the notes correspond to those harmonics. Do you understand?
Sure.
So in other words, as above, so below. So all the notes we have down here, like major scale and the different modes and scales from all around the world, everything in melody, harmony, and rhythm comes out of this original stem cell sound, as I call it, of the harmonic series. So it really is one body of work. See what I'm saying? It's not a dual thing where it doesn't matter what kind of sound we make down here because we're interested in the harmonics up there. The key offering through harmonic chant and harmonic presence work is showing that these different levels are absolutely integrally related, just as they are in the sonic phenomenon itself. The harmonic series, as you know, goes up, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so original tone, octave, fifth, fourth, third, and so on. So as above, that's what we get, and down here we have nothing but, anywhere in the world we look, all the various and infinitely wonderful different scales and modes and approaches to making music. And, of course, that comes out of the harmonic series. That's sort of the beginning of it all.
Now, what about, tell me more about the contemplative aspect.
Because
I think that's what I was talking about as far as the actual path and practice.
Right. Well, as I said, the music, the contemplative practices, and the healing harmonization parts are the three aspects of the path. From the contemplative point of view, and again, I have to come back to something very traditional, something very important in the traditional perspective, which has a lot to do with, I would call it, qualitative harmonics, harmonics of being. In other words, our motivation when we practice, our aspiration when we practice. I know intention has become, you know, a big buzzword, but I mean, the thing is, how we are while we practice is definitely as important as what we practice. So, you know, if we find one of these so-called higher states, you know, thanks be to higher benevolent forces, whether we're making overtones or helping somebody across the street or, you know, picking up our child after school or whatever, the point is to be awakened first responders in the present moment. A certain number of very musically important skills are of great relevance, and that's where the listening comes in. So when we sit down to practice, it's not allopathic spirituality. It's not practicing harmonics to find a better state. Listening, work with listening, has a very pure intention. It's to actually hear how things already are, to hear how one is oneself, to hear how it is with others. And by this kind of very pure listening work, then we become more and more harmonious, more and more harmonic, if you will, and much better first responders in the present moment. For example, helping to bring harmony into a conflicted situation. And above all, practicing what I think is really the key sort of bridge theme between music and everyday life, and that is accompaniment. That by becoming awakened listeners, we become better and better at more and more harmoniously accompanying anything that comes up in all the different life situations, different octaves of life. So that, from the pure point of view, the practice is, of course, to be humble, aware, open, to be of help to others, and not to acquire a particular state. And that reason is very clearly spelled out in the traditions, which is, you know, we can do all sorts of complicated things and get in very so-called higher states, but that's not realization because, you know, we go up and we come down and then we're still working with some sort of search for more basic, grounded, actual transformation.
But if we go up to a state of oneness, it's not going up. It's not really going up. It's going up to where we really are. So that's, you know, so there are many techniques that we can use to get to this state of oneness or to a state of stillness and presence with sound that could open up this portal to the more pure listening, huh?
Yes, of course. That's fine. You're quite right to say it like that. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But sound is not, see, the problem with listening, you know, we have, you and I and most all of us are from this culture, which has not transmitted very much actual knowledge about the nature of listening awareness, nor its possibilities for cultivation. Same with breathing and thinking and feeling and, of course, all kinds of body practices. Let's face it, we haven't grown up in a mature spiritual civilization. And so our work is about reconnecting and finding authentic ways, and what's very important, authentic ways to reconnect. And that's why I go back to Taos a lot, because Native American peoples, indigenous peoples in many parts of the world, in spite of all the crap they have to go through, like the rest of us, on some level, their path is very different because they have not been spiritually disconnected yet in many cases. And so, you know, it's wonderful to be around because they don't have this trying to put it, you know, glue it back together, the connectedness thing, which is our path. So that's very interesting. But what I do take away from my very, how should I say, you know, very precious moments with my family and friends from these other worlds that we aspire to, you know, match in terms of the wisdom and quality of being is, you know, the sort of humility, and not sort of manipulating so much, really trying to learn from what comes to us. And really, you know, the work on listening means, for example, listening to how we are when we practice and what our aims are, and sort of always trying to go more and more upstream so that our doingness is not in actual fact, although we think, of course, it's not going to cause this particular problem, but in actual fact, actually, you know, we're very identified with the practice, and we tend to confuse the practice with the result. You know, we have, so that's, I'm saying there's a lot of, how should I say, guidelines and sort of, you know, advice about how the path can actually go somewhere true. And that's actually not so easy. You know, we're, again, maybe a kind of like baby civilization in terms of our estrangement from these time-honored traditions and practices. So, and the whole harmonic thing is kind of an interesting example of that. It's like we're all splashing around in this absolutely delightful, you know, sort of wading pool of harmonic this and that. And it, of course, it will take a lot of time for these practices in their authentic modes, in any case, to really take root and not just be, you know, what so many teachers kind of warn us about, which is sort of like spiritual entertainment. I mean, we think we're getting somewhere, but we're actually just having a hell of a good time. It's not, you know, the joy ride can be joyful, but it's not necessarily to the source of the joy. So it's just, you know, and in the New Age sphere in general, that I think sometimes we all get a bit naive about confusing our delight and enjoyment of certain practices with actually,
well,
you know,
getting
somewhere.
Well, I have to say that a lot of that delight and enjoyment is harmonizing as opposed to taking us in the opposite direction of really creating dissonance. You know, so
yes,
you
right.
know, it's going in the right direction, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's
I mean,
go ahead
so
and listen to one of your songs.
Yes, please.
Now, you want to listen to
the composition?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Special times.
You're going to go to the. Oh, you want to start with special times? Yeah,
anyone you want. Which one would be good?
Well, I thought we'd start with Rainbow Voice. That's the composition of first of the 8 parts of Hearing Solar Winds. That album that you mentioned, the one that just delightfully has sold so well over the years. So this is just one voice, mine, in Le Tourne Abbey, where I've gone now for almost 40 years to
record. I'm sorry, where?
This.
Where?
Oh, it's in the wonderful abbey in southern France.
Oh, okay.
It happens to have a wonderfully rich natural acoustic. So this is just me singing in this abbey, and the composition is called Rainbow Voice from the album Hearing Solar Winds.
Okay, great. Everyone, check this out. I tell you my experience?
Oh, please.
Yeah. Whenever I, well, I'll just say my experience here. So for some reason, I always map out intuitively. I actually don't do it actively in my head, but it seems like all the harmonics always move through different chakras and endocrine glands in me. So it's like moving up and down the different, because even when I do overtone singing, I always end up feeling the different harmonics in different chakras and particularly in very specific endocrine glands associated with those chakras. And so that's my main experience, other than, of course, just bringing me into it's an activating experience. It's very activating. It's, you know, I wouldn't normally put this on to go to sleep, yeah, which is cool. But it also makes me very still.
Good. Well, stillness is something we all can benefit from tremendously. I recorded that when I was 29, working on this first album, first sort of major release album, Hearing Solar Winds. And the album came out in this August of 1983, so we're in the 31st year of this album. And of the 300,000 people who bought it, I mean, you know, and I do concerts all over the world and sort of that sort of thing. So I hear a lot of people recounting their experiences, both live, hearing the music, hearing harmonic chant live and to the record. And those experiences have been incredibly moving and interesting to hear about. And I think the point is, if the sound is pure enough, then the kind of listening that it evokes will also have a great, so to say, mirror-like purity. And then the experiences which people sort of come up for people, I guess, for better or worse, have a lot to do with sort of where their listening is coming from. And many people have no particular agenda about looking for the sounds here or there in the sort of inner anatomical diagrams. And just for many people, it seems to be like a rather whole body experience, not so much about this place or that place on the inner map, but more about, let's say, general improvement in circulation, so to speak, in all the senses of that term. So, I mean, I can't tell you, I mean, thousands of, you know, what do you call it, testimonials, I guess. So, but it's wonderful also how unique each person's experience is. I have to say that sort of agenda-based listening, where it's not something that I personally practice, because as a listener, in other words, this music comes out of silence and listening awareness. So the sound part is the flowering of the interaction of the first two. In other words, the silent space is a space of all potential, and the awareness dimension arises indissociably within that basic silent space or space of all potential. So their interaction is what produces the sound. So technically, there's not necessarily the need to define neither a performer nor a listener. These things are happening in the space of awareness, we could say. So that means that you're interrupting. Let me just quickly finish so I don't create any further confusion. So from that point of view, as a practitioner, the idea is to be very, very quiet so that this original sort of primordial place has no, so to say, interference waves based on my own agenda. So in other words, the more silent I am when I practice, which means being agenda-free, the more beautiful the music, and the more interesting the music, and the more true the music. So that's the part that I'm the most concerned with. And as Nisargadatta Maharaj said once, you know, somebody said, why don't you, you know, make a center and publish books and, you know, do a whole world tour thing? And he said, well, some people like making bread, but I just love growing wheat. And that very wonderful teaching, really, in one sentence that he gave, has been very inspiring to me, because I really feel that the beauty and the purity of the experience is sort of, how should I say, non-directed. I'm not trying to do it to make anything happen.
Right.
I'm trying to just be there and witness what is happening as a listener, as a silent practitioner, and as a composer-singer. You see, so it's just a different map than many of the maps that in the more New Age circles has sort of come to pass. But, you know, I have to say, just, you know, very honestly, I think the healing dimension in good music is there, whatever adjectives we put with it and sort of however, what to whatever specific uses we want to have the music comply. So to me, the music and the spirituality and the healing part, I find it very difficult to separate in order to, for example, make, you know, harmonic, what were you calling it, overtone, you know, techniques to do this or that or to hit or that, to hit this or that place in myself, because the original map is undivided awareness space. So, you know, I'm in this music, we're going to places in ourselves long before the, you know, the endocrine glands, the chakras, any of that actually appeared. We're working with actual, pure, open, unbounded, primordial awareness space.
That's,
so
yeah,
it's like those pages in the book.
You know, I'm really, really open.
Sorry?
I mean, I'm really open.
Yeah,
I don't really, really direct anything when I'm listening. Just whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people, if you just say, you know, be present, and a lot of people will not be present. And so I think sometimes techniques work to teach people, just, you know, show people ways, since we are learning how to get back to normal, you know. But I've got another a question for you that is really a fun one. I know that you're not really setting an intention for anything to happen, but have things happened? Have any light beings shown up while you're doing this, or ceilings opened up, or, you know, tell us about your experience, some of your more interesting experiences.
Well, to answer the second question very briefly first, of course, yes, amazing things happen and, you know, miraculous things happen. But I want to first address your first comment there, which is, it's not that I have no intention. It's just the level of my intention is not about using sound to go to this or that part of the body, okay?
Right.
So I would say, to use common jargon, sort of more, definitely, I don't have a word for it, but I would say, I could use the word, more holistic in nature. I mean, it's a sort of well-wishing for the entire being and the whole being. Because as a Buddhist practitioner, I don't just practice for myself. I'm very concerned about the force of the pure harmonic current being of, carry a wave of goodness in many, many different lives and different spheres. And that has been maybe my greatest experience and greatest joy.
That's really important, you know, because as I started out here, you know, telling you about Emmanuel, Emmanuel does the same thing. He doesn't really go to make overtones. He goes to a certain state of consciousness, mostly in order to actually work on a person or heal a person, but he's not really making sound. There's so many people that are just really consciously making overtones and really not letting it take them. They're really, you know, really.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and
so it's just really,
And I think that's really the key. I mean, that is really the key, because once you let go, then source pretty much takes over, you know, and opens up, and then you're able to. It just gives source freedom to open you up to wherever it's meant to go for whatever situation is happening.
Yes, that sounds quite right. And of course, all of us trying to walk on that path recognize that as easily as that is said, it's of course very, very difficult in practice. I mean, I think one of the difficulties we're facing is there's a famous story of when the Dalai Lama first came to the West and met with Western Dharma teachers. And it's a really, really important story for all of us, because there they all were, you know, sort of the A-list of the early contemporary Dharma teachers. And the Dalai Lama really wanted to know, well, what's it like working with Americans, working in the West? You know, what sort of questions do people have? And what's it like for you? What's your experience trying to teach? And every single person, you know, they would say whatever, blah, 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 yada, 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 low self-esteem, blah, 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 low self-esteem. And the Dalai Lama kept stopping them and, like, having these long interactions with his translator because he seriously did not have any clue whatsoever what they were referring to, you know? And finally he said, stop, stop, stop. And he went around to every person at the table and he asked them individually, so you have this? How do you say? You know, then he would, like, you know, talk to the translator. Self-esteem? And everybody said yes, and all our students speak about that. So this is really interesting. You know, in traditional cultures, life can be very hard, but this concept doesn't exist. And yet us and these so-called advanced, so-called, well, you know, definitely industrialized, advanced, of course, that's another issue, much less evolved. You know, most people have this kind of sort of shadow frequency, we could call it. And isn't it interesting how to what lengths we go to sort of exaggerate on the other side, like, because, you know, this, a lot of the themes that come up, like, you know, higher beings and wanting to be this entity or that entity, you know, like, what would be wrong with just channeling myself? You know what I mean? You see what I'm saying? We look for different versions of ourselves, which we think will make us happier or more luminous and all that. But, you know, the real work will never be about settling in one particular personnage, as we would say in French, because, you know, we're constantly changing. The nature of being is that of constant change and hopefully transformation in good ways, but not only. And, you know, so I think the whole field is much more open, and we have to sort of be careful about the targets we pick and also the sort of means we use. And like you said, and I'm glad to hear you say it, I think the idea that just simply making harmonics is already some kind of achievement or some kind of healing tool, to me, this is the mistake of relating to them as quantitative, you know, phenomena. And, you know, qualitative harmonics, that's like how we are as human beings. And that's, and like you...
I want to play another song.
Manuel,
that
you're
mentioning.
Okay. Yeah. So why don't you play the Alleluia from the album Harmonic Meetings. And this is just three of us. Michel Dupéré, a wonderful colleague, Timothy Hill, and me, in the same abbey in France, just in there one evening, just a few voices and one drum, and that gave the following piece, Alleluia.
Cool. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Hallelujah, please.
Yeah, it was the second track on the list that I sent you. I hope it's fair.
Thank you.
I agree. I do agree. So I'm fine about maybe we've already spoken a lot, so if you want to just, you know, go out with the other track and then just fade when time is up, that's fine.
Okay, well, whatever you'd like. tell people your website and how they can find your music and stuff.
HarmonicPresence.org is the website, and the best source for three of my albums is definitely CDBaby.com. They have Hearing Solar Winds and Harmonic Worlds, and my two most recent albums, Harmonic Worlds and Harmonic Mantra. So, yeah, that would be great.
And people, visitors can also, welcome. People can also get tickets for the concert, which is Sunday, September 28th at 8 p.m. at the Oakland Kaiser Tower. And so you can find the tickets at globesoundhealingconference.com and as well as the rest of the conference there as well. So thank you so much for joining us. It was really, really cool, really interesting.
Thank you, David.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on. It's great. Look forward to seeing you and being there and bringing it all to life, helping bringing it all to life there in September.
Thank you very much. So again, we end with our intention of pure listening, which really has a whole other dimension now. It's really that state, not only of listening into music, but just pure listening. It's like, you know, it's like my friend Beverly up in Mount Shasta, who makes the alchemical bowls. She once said to me, I once got it that, can I be still enough to hear the difference between different alchemical bowls, but to hear the harmonics between different alchemical bowls as a state of consciousness? And that seems very similar. It's really being still enough to really hear not only all the music, but all the sounds, including the sound stream of the universe. So,
amen. May we always ring true.
Yes, yeah. So hold that intention for the rest of the weekend. The rest of the week, pure listening, months to come, years to come. Imagine lifetimes to come. Thanks for listening. And if we have time, we can go and play another song there.